Paul Tonko, you have a bill regulating uniform drug standards in the horse racing industry. Why'd you do that?
Well, to begin with, there's a patchwork of standards out there that individual states and tracks live by. I think that it's important in this day and age to recognize that there is a need to regulate or oversee the interactions of the industry with the athlete, in this case, the horse. And I believe that sports fans in today's world are very discerning, and they appreciate clean athletes. And the horse does not have a say in this matter, so I think that it's important to provide for those standards and the overview and the application of those standards and enforcement of them in a meaningful way that will enable the athlete here to be rid of the doping that takes hold in the industry. I think this win at any price that standard or that concept is certainly unacceptable.
What about whipping the horse?
Well, we're dealing with the doping situation here. I think that, you know, we're taking on a huge issue with the medication issue. And
one step at a time.
One step at a time. And I also think that, you know, we've been doing a lot of work on this one and, you know, not being that linked to this industry, I would need counsel on just what those standards, how those standards would be established and further established or amended and then enforced.
This, of course, we political scientists like to think of as a case study. So let me ask you a question in terms of background. How do you get a bill like this? Does somebody bring it to you? Does somebody say, Congressman Tonko, we really need you to help us with this?
Right. Well, I went to some discussions that they had in Saratoga last season. And at the Jockey Club, they had some presentations made. And I think there was concern by some that there had to be better discipline in the sport. And that, you know, everyone's looking to enhance their numbers, get more spectators involved. And I think the way that you do that is by addressing some of the doping issues, the standards out there. And
because of credibility, you mean?
Yeah, right. I think it gives fans what they're looking for. It builds the image of the sport. And in greatest measure, in greatest concern, it's fair to the horse, to the athlete. And I sat in on some of the discussions. They had various proposals. And it seems as though the concept was gaining support, and we wanted to get involved because I co-chair the horse caucus because of the impact of the industry, not only through Saratoga as a track, a very historic track, but also through the horse farms that are growing in number in upstate New York, with New York breds getting recognized now in several good ways. And in fact, some New York breds, I believe, that have been setting some good records of late.
Interesting. You go through Bedford and some of those places, you see a lot of horses down there.
Right. And, you know, I just think that the time has come that, you know, the confluence of some of these concerns and some of the desire to grow the sport is a good moment for us to come up to the plate, step up to the plate, and see what we can produce in terms of acceptable standards. And I think for the industry, it's the predictability that would come with these standards and the ability to have that continuity that would cross state borders is important.
Anybody getting in your way? In other words, is there opposition?
I'm certain there will be opposition. There have been some voices of opposition from various perspectives. But I think... again, this is a common sense approach. We're going to have the industry working with the establishment of the standards so that there will be input there. And, you know, it'll be a test pattern, and we'll see where that takes us. If we need to further improve upon it and enhance it, we'll do that.
Let me change the subjects, Paul Tonko, and thank you for always speaking your mind the way that you do. A terrible thing has happened in South Carolina. Mm. Where, you know, members of a wonderful church get wiped out by basically a racist person. That's the allegation anyway, and I think he's pretty well admitted it. So my question is, because some of the politicians down there are saying this is a state problem, you know, flying the Confederate flag is a state problem, criminal laws are a state problem, and you're a federal official. Is there anything the feds should be doing?
Well, you know, in the aftermath of some of the carnage at Newtown and some of the activities that that occurred around the country that were regrettable outcomes, tragedies that oftentimes wiped out some of the youngest amongst us, you would have thought the time was right
yes.
to move forward and have some sort of restrictive quality placed into a statute. I do think it's a federal responsibility. There can be those guidelines. And certainly the fact that many believe, and as I do, that this was a hate crime requires, I think, us to revisit some of those statutes and to see what would perhaps strengthen the desired outcome that we've had with the intention here, the legislative intent. But
do you think it's possible that the conservative conference and the Republican conference in the Senate and the House are going to let this happen?
You know, everyone thought after the Newtown incident
yeah, right.
that things would happen. And
only in New York. Governor Cuomo did the right thing.
Right. And you know, the people are still amazed after all the lobbying effort. Many of the parents had come to Washington.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know it wasn't the NRA, but an NRA member suggested that the pastor could have made a difference here. And he himself was slain, as we know.
Sure.
Lost his life in that unfortunate tragedy. And there was a concealed weapons bill, I believe, in the state house. He's a member of the state Senate. And they thought lives could have been saved if they had approved that measure. But that's to imply everybody would have a gun. And, you know, many of these people were not into that, or would they, if that legislation were to become law.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that the reaching to violence in our society is growing to be a very troublesome statistic.
Yeah.
And we have to move forward with some sort of better focus on how to reduce that effort, including efforts towards mental health services that I think are essential.
I got less than a minute, or just about a minute. Confederate flag, any thoughts?
Well, you know, there's no denying flags bring about emotion. And I think that, I think, you know, it's important for us to understand that there's a need for us to see ourselves as a union, as a force that pledges itself to a common flag. And, you know, who knows what effect some of these forces might have.
Would you outlaw it, Paul?
Well,
federal
you know,
law. I mean, the Germans aren't allowed to post a Nazi flag,
right?
A swastika.
I would want to review the impact there. It's the right to express yourself is a right we hold sacred.
We do,
and it's just, you know, how we respond to that, and you know what would lead. What were the forces that affected this 21-year-old heart and mind that could be filled with such hate? And hopefully we'll learn from that and see how some of these dynamics were affecting him. It's a tragedy, no matter how you look at it. And I hope we can come up with some remedies that will reduce that sort of carnage in our communities.
Paul Tocco, always wonderful to have you come in and talk to us. We are extremely grateful. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, always.